So let's start with the talking about the Mitzvah Tayom. And I want to, you know, address a number of things. We'll partly look at the Daf Makorot that I've shared with you, partly not. But we'll start off by raising the question with regard to Tkiat Shofar. This is the classic question in the Rishonim as to what is the nature of the Mitzvah of Shofar. So, you know, we talk about Tkiat Shofar, but in actual fact, there's a Machloket Rishonim that's whether the mitzvah is a mitzvah of Tkiat Shofar or whether it's a mitzvah of Shemiat Shofar. So even if it's a mitzvah of Tkiat Shofar, we don't need everybody in shul to pick up their own shofar and blow from it. The Baal Tkiah can blow on behalf of everybody, but he'll work in a sense of Shomer Ka'oneh, that it's as if he's as if everybody's blowing the shofar themselves, if that's what's required or not. So a reflection of this machloket that is actually in the nusach of the bracha. Rabbeinu Tam holds that the bracha that you say is a bracha of Al Tkiat Shofar. So it's clear that Rabbeinu Tam holds that the mitzvah is a mitzvah of Tkiah and everybody's yotzei through Shomer Ka'oneh. That's what's a proof for the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. So a proof is the sugya which tells us that a cheresh shotev katan, that's none of these people are chayav in Tkiat Shofar. If a cheresh shotev katan blows shofar, that's for a gadol, then you're not yotzei with that Tkiat Shofar, because they haven't got a chiyuv. So that would seem to indicate that the chiyuv is a chiyuv of Tkiah, because if it's just a chiyuv of Shemia, so then prima facie one would have thought that one is yotzei with such Tkiah. You've heard the shofar. Doesn't matter whether it was blown by a bar chiyuv or not. So Rabbeinu Tam uses this as a proof that the mitzvah is a mitzvah of Tkiah. However, most Rishonim hold that the mitzvah is, or the bracha, is lishmoa kol shofar. According to some, Rishonim lishmoa berkol shofar. We reject the berkol shofar. Berkol shofar, the Achronim point out, would suggest that we've got to listen to what the shofar tells us to do, whereas the shofar is not specifically telling us to do anything other than uru yishenim. But the mitzvah is lishmoa kol shofar, to hear the sound of the shofar. And that would indicate that the mitzvah is a mitzvah of shemiah rather than a mitzvah of tekiah. What do we find as a proof text for that? So it's a mission again in Masachet Rosh Hashanah, Hatokeh L'toch Habor. If you blow shofar into a pit or a cistern, then the discussion is, it depends what you hear. If you hear kol shofar, then you yotzei. If you hear kol havara, you hear the sound of an echo, so then you're not yotzei. So if it was a mitzvah of tekiah, then it wouldn't matter what I hear, because I don't need to hear anything. I need to blow the shofar. I've blown the shofar, I should be yotzei. But the fact is that I need to hear the kol shofar, and therefore it must be that the mitzvah is a mitzvah of shmir. That's, how are we going to deal, how Rav Rishonim going to deal with the sugi of cheres shotev katan, which indicates that it's a din of tekiah? So they'll say, no, it's still a din of shmir. But the din is that you have to hear Tkiat Shofar from a bar chiyuva. You couldn't train a monkey to blow shofar and then say, I heard the sound of the shofar. Or you might have thought, you know, I could hold it up to the wind in a certain way, and if I hold it just at the right angle, that's then the wind will rush through and I'll be yotzei because I heard the sound of the shofar. No, you have to hear the sound of the shofar sounded by a bar chiyuva. So it's a machloket in the Rishonim that's what the correct text of the bracha is, and that's a reflection of the machloket in the Rishonim about what the actual mitzvah is. Some of the Achronim, the Minchat Chinuch and the Shagat Aryeh, they say that in actual fact it's a combination of the two, that the mitzvah is to hear the sound of the blowing, or to blow the shofar and to hear the sound. that it's a double-barreled mitzvah. So the Shulchan Aruch paskens that the correct bracha, this is in Tafkuf Pei Hei, correct bracha is Lishmo Kol Shofar. Mishnah Berurah says that if a person gets it wrong and says Al Tkiat Shofar, then one is also Yotzei. Interesting question comes up with regard to Shechianu. So we say Shechianu on the blowing of the shofar on the first day. As far as blowing the shofar on the second day, there's a machloket. The Mechaber, basing himself on the Rambam in Siman Taf Reish, says you don't say Brachav Shechianu on the shofar on the second day. That's unless it's Shabbat, of course. But essentially, you don't say a bracha of Shechianu on the second day because we've already done the mitzvah of shofar on the first day. That's whereas the Rama says that our minhag is that we do say a bracha of Shechianu on the second day. That's even though we did it on the first day, and even though we regard it as Yom Arichta, nevertheless, that's everything in the Nusach that we do on the first day, we repeat again on the second day. Mishnah Berurah says that it's good practice that the Tokeah will wear a Beged Chadash or something like that, or have a Pre-Chadash in front of him when he says the Bracha. It's not critical, because essentially we paskin that there's a Chiyuv of Shechianu even on the second day. But miyot tov, that's if you can cover yourself in another way as well, that's good. That's a couple of things just to point out with regard to the brachot. That's important that the tzibur doesn't say baruch hu baruch shemo. That's when the Baal Tekiah blows the shofar, because he's saying the bracha on behalf of the tzibur. Very often, it's an interesting question, very often that's the shliach tzibur says the bracha and then we repeat it. For example, with regard to Hallel, that's we could be yotze with the bracha of the shliach tzibur, but the minhag is the shliach tzibur says the bracha and everybody repeats it. The same with Sfirat HaOmer. That's with Megillah and with Tkiat Shofar, we don't. So I don't know what the minhag is amongst Sfardim. With Ashkenazim, the tune that's used for the brachot of the Megillah is the same as the tune which is used for the brachot of Shofar. There's not much common denominators between Megillah and Shofar. But there's a certain common denominator. The tune for the bracha is the same, because the tune that hurries through Hashem Elokeinu, that's so that you don't get a chance to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, to do it in one way, so that people don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo there. That's interestingly, it's brought down by a number of poskim that you cover the shofar. That's at the time of the brachot. That, and then you uncover it afterwards. So this is an interesting discussion. That number of reasons are brought down for covering the shofar. Rav Shi Pesach Frank brings some reasons that suggest that it might be that Shalola Vayesh, meaning on Friday nights. That's why do we cover the challah? That's where we make Kiddush. So there's two reasons. One reason is Zeichel Aman, but the other reason is Shelol HaVayesh. So it's not quite as we always taught in kindergarten, that we don't want the challah to get embarrassed, but it's that we've got this Seder Kadima, that while we're making the Brachav Borei Pri Agafen, that we should cover the challah, because the challah's really got priority there. So we want it to be as if it's not there. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says that, here also, we're saying a bracha of Lishma Kol Shofar. We're not saying the bracha on the Cheftza of the Shofar. That's Al Mitzvah Shofar or Al Tekiat Shofar. We're just talking about the Kol. And therefore, seeing as we're saying the bracha on the Kol rather than on the Shofar, we cover the Shofar. Another suggestion given is because that's the ram was hidden out of sight at the time of the Akedah, and then it appeared, so we cover the Shofar and then make it appear, or that Yitzchak was hidden out of sight at the time of the Akedah. That's I was this week looking at a very interesting article on the subject of covering the shofar. That's, I can't remember who it's written by. It's in the journal Yerushateinu, which suggests that in actual fact, in the earliest texts of this minhag isn't mentioned by the earlier Rishonim at all. That's, but in the earliest texts, maybe it's actually said that the minhag is that, or it's correct, it's lenasot et hashofar. That after you've said the bracha, you then it's all right, lenasot et hashofar, to try and get the sound out correctly, before you then, you know, launch into your tekiot, and that's not regarded as a hefsek. And there was a Talat Sofrim that came along and changed it from lenasot into lechasot. So that's a discussion, perhaps for another time. The Rama points out that it's good to have the shofar in the right side of the mouth of the tekea. That's what's the reason for that. The pasuk says in Zechariah HaSatano Medal Yemino Lesitno. So you want to have the shofar in the right side of your mouth and blow the satan out of the way. Also, ideally, you should have the shofar pointing upwards. That's so that why should you have the shofar pointing upwards? Because Allah Elokim Bitrua. So again, these are not critical things, but these are part of the, if you like, part of the enhancement of the mitzvah of Tekiat Shofar. So if we look at the Makorot that I've given you, that's we have a Gemara on Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Bet, which talks about the tekiot that one needs on Rosh Hashanah, and one needs, there are three psukim which talk about blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur of Yovel, which mention the notion of teruah. So we learn out everything to do with Chodesh HaShvi'i back and forth from each other. So we come to a conclusion that even though that's not all of the psukim are talking about Rosh Hashanah, nevertheless, that's we apply Yom Kippur of Yovel to Rosh Hashanah and vice versa, we're left with three psukim with teruah, and therefore we have to have three teruot on with our shofar. And because it says Vahavarta shofar and Taviru shofar, so that indicates that you have a pshuta lefaneh, pshuta lachareha, a tekiah before it and a tekiah after it. That's, so that gives us shalosh shel shalosh shalosh, that you have to have three sets of three notes. Tekiah, teruah, tekiah, tekiah, teruah, tekiah, tekiah, teruah, tekiah. So that's what we have to do. So, you know, how is it that we get to the 100 kolot on Rosh Hashanah? So that's the big question. So the Gemara in Lamed Daled Amud Aleph tells us that Itkin Rabbi Abba Kisari. There was this institution made by Rabbi Abahu in Kisaria that we're not quite sure exactly what a teruah is. Is it Gnuche Ganach or is it Yelule Yelil? Is it a groaning sound or is it a sobbing sound? So Rabbi Abahu's takana was that in actual fact we should cover all our bases. And we should do a gnuche ganach, we should do a groaning sound, and we should also do a yulule yulil sound, we should also have a weeping sound, or a sobbing sound, and we should also do both of them together, a groaning followed by a sobbing. That's, that is indeed what we do, and that's how we get to our 30 kolot. That's because we have, maybe a teruah is the groaning, so we have tekiah, shvarim, tekiah three times. Maybe it's the sobbing, so we have tekiah, teruah, tekiah three times. Maybe it's the combination of the two, so we have tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah three times. So there are a number of points to just flag up on that sugya. The first is a question which I've never been able to resolve, never found an answer to. Maybe there is an answer. The Gemara asks, why don't we do that Tekiya Teruah Shlosha Shvarim and then a Tekiya again? That's if we do the groaning and the sobbing, why don't we do the sobbing and the groaning? So the Gemara answers, Stama de Milta, Ki Mitra Be'inish Milta, when a bad thing happens to a person, Bereisha Ganach Vahada Yilel, you groan first and then you sob. So I have to say that I think very often that, you know, you'll have people that something terrible happens, they'll sob uncontrollably, and then as time goes on, they'll calm down and they'll just be groaning. So you've got like that, if you'll pardon my histrionics there. But I think that's the way it works sometimes, that you sob and you know, as you're calming down, you then move into groaning mode. So I don't know why that's rejected. That's the Rishonim. That's the Riff and the Run deal with the question of I think this is the Run actually. You know, up to the time of Rabbi Abbahu and Kisari, you know, what was going on? This was only in the time of Rabbi Abbahu that they got sort of, you know, unsure what should be a teruah. That's what was happening prior to then. And what's this saying about everyone else? So the answer is that in actual fact, midoraita, any of these things are good. In terms of a teruah can have various interpretations. However, in the times of Rabbi Abbahu, they wanted to standardize things amongst kehilot. They knew more different kehilot doing different things, and therefore they said, you know, let's all do the same thing, and we'll incorporate all the traditions. It's a very interesting idea, because of course we have so many areas of Jewish practice where there is divergent customs. Why was it in Tekiyat Shofar that they were so keen to unify the customs? So that's a question there, just to park. While we're on the subject here of the Shavarim and the Teruah, it's worth pointing out that there's a lot of discussion, or a certain amount of discussion in the Rishonim, and more discussion in the Achronim about what exactly constitutes a Shavarim and a Teruah. And again, this is an interesting notion in Halakha, because it's an area of Halakha which can't really be written down. In terms of sounds, can't really well be, you know, be described well. That's, you know, there's certain things in halakha which can be easily written down. You know, the halakha about, you know, if you miss out Yalev Yavor, can be easily recorded. There are other things which are harder. You know, the classic example I like to repeat lots of times in Hilchot Shabbat was Chatichot Gedolot Ketzat. That's, you know, where the poskim say, you know, in Tochein, so you should cut your salad into Chatichot Gedolot Ketzat. You know, I don't know, you know, they don't say, oh, Chatichot, you know, if it's cucumber, it's 1 centimetre, and if it's tomatoes, it's 9 millimetres, etc., etc. It just says, you know, Gedolot Ketzat. So all we've got in the Gemara is that it's a it's Genuchei Ganach or Yelulei Yelil. So there's a machloket between the Ramban and the Ritva about the Shavarim, whether the Shavarim is simply a shortened Tekiya sound, so it's a straight sound, or is it a sound, a broken sound in its own right, which goes up and makes a groaning sound. So is a Tekiya, sorry, is a Shavarim, do, 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 or is it do, 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 that's, or some variation of that. And indeed, in the different kehilot, there are different ways of blowing a shvarim. The Litvish way of blowing a shvarim is do, 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 with a sort of little hiccup in it. How that's really a groaning sound, genuche ganach, that's, I'm not entirely sure. Maybe if it was slow, it was, like that, but when you hear it blown, that's in shul, it never sounds like it. So it's tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu. That's which is always puzzles me a little bit. That's Rav Sadia Gaon, that's in the Siddur Rav Sadia Gaon, that's it's there are the illustrations of what the Shvarim and the Trua should sound like, and those are drawn, certainly the Trua is drawn as a wavy line. That's so there's the suggestion that perhaps the Trua should be where all the notes are joined together, and that indeed is a question also with the Shvarim. That's, and there are some a dot, I think it's essentially, I'm cautious what I'm saying, with a group of distinguished Sfardim, amongst us, but I assume just like with Ashkenazim, the Sfardim also have, various different practices, in their communities. But it's recorded that the teruah of Teimanim is a where the notes are almost all joined together, and that's also the traditional Yekish teruah as well, with it all joined together. Likewise, the Shvarim, that's whereas. Usually, certainly Ashkenazim are very careful to have it as a separate kolot, but they're clearly different minhagim there. And it's as I say, it's one of the difficult things to record in writing, what exactly a sound is. It's hard to define, a sound. And that's the big challenge. That's the big challenge that we have. Also, discussion about the sound of the tekiah. With regards to a tekiah, it has to be it's called a peshuta, a straight note. That's in some places they're very, very makpid that the tekiah should be absolutely, no wavering whatsoever. Sorry, I wavered there, but do like that. That's, and that it shouldn't go up at all at the end. Do. That's that you don't want. Others have a more generous attitude, and it's a pshuta. Pshuta means it's a long, roughly straight note. But if it warbles a bit somewhere along the road, then it shouldn't matter too much. In part, this might be related also to the definition of what a teruah is. That's what the shvarim is. The Ritva says a teruah is kolot mechubarin. So if that's the case, you want your tekiah to be very, very straight, because otherwise it easily becomes a teruah. Whereas on the other hand, if a teruah is separate notes, so even if your tekiah wavers a bit, then it's going to be less of a problem, because it hasn't become a teruah. So those are just things to flag up there. Now it's clear from the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Bet Amud Aleph that the Tkiat Shofar is blown in the context of the Tfilat Amida, of the Musaf Amida. That the Mishnah doesn't tell us that the Shofar is blown in any other context. We have a Mishnah that says that the Sheni is Matkia, that on Rosh Hashanah it's the second of the Balei Tefillah, i.e. the Baal Musaf causes the shofar to be blown, rather than the Baal Shachrit. So we don't blow shofar at Shachrit, we blow shofar at Musaf. It's a question, why don't we apply the principle of Zrizin Makdimin? So the Gemara gives us two reasons. One reason is because of Barov Am Hadrat Melech, which is a very fascinating answer. The Rishonim say that what that means is that at Shachrit time, time, a lot of people weren't yet in shul. That's, you know, we tend to have this notion of, you know, it's Biridat HaDorot, that, you know, a lot of shuls fill up at 11 o'clock, 11:30 on Rosh Hashanah. But obviously, in the times of Chazal, everybody was there right at the beginning. That's, but no, it seems people weren't showing up till laning, even on Rosh Hashanah, even in the times of Chazal, and you want a full shul there for Tkiat Shofar. The other reason is because of Maaseh Shehaya, that there was a gzeira against Tkiat Shofar. That's because the enemy thought that it was a sign of an impending battle. That's which, of course, the shofar is. That's but it's a battle with Yetzer Hara. That's and the Satan. That's and therefore they forbade the blowing of shofar. That's when they discovered that it hadn't been blown in Shacharit. So the government authorities went home and they blew shofar in Musaf. It's brought down in one or two places that in some places that Yichide Segula they blow shofar. That's even in the early in the morning. That's before going to shul. That's generally speaking, frowned on. That's but it's certainly. The Chida says, "Rabim Nagulit Kor Kodim Tfila Baboke Hashkein." That's so because of Srizin Makdimin. That's but he was against it, and that it seems to be rejected. But it seems there are some people, Mekubalim, who perhaps do that. In any event, we've got from the Mishnah that the Tkiat Shofar is Al Seder HaBrachot. So the Gemara that's on Daf Tet Zayin that's asked, why is it we blow Shofar also at another point in the service? That's why do we have what we call Tkiat Dimyushav, the Tkiat when the Tzibur are sitting, and Tkiot Dimu'umad when the Tzibur are standing. So most Rishonim understand that to mean the Tkiot before Musaf and the Tkiot during Musaf. There are some Rishonim who understand it to mean the Tkiot during Musaf and the Tkiot after Musaf. But most Rishonim understand it to be the Tkiot before Musaf and the Tkiot during Musaf. So the answer is Gedela Arbeiv HaSatan, in order to confound the Satan. So we have two sets of Tkiat Shofar, one before Musaf and one during Musaf. So it's a Machloket Rishonim, which is the Ikka Tkiat. This is an important Machloket Rishonim. According to the Ran, the Ikka Tkiot are the Tkiot in the Seder HaBrachot, the Tkiot in Musaf. That's, and it's just that we have the Tkiot Dimyushav beforehand in order to Gedel Arbevet HaSatan. So why do we do, we have extra ones, why do we do them Davka before? That's, we could do them afterwards. But the Ran says, it's very fascinating. We don't leave it till afterwards, because if we left it to us, we were worried everybody would go home. Everybody would go home straight after the Amidah. That's, and they'll miss the Tkiot Dimyushav. That's to La'arbevet HaSatan. They won't get blown. So we blow them beforehand because everybody's going to stay for Musaf. That's, the Torah indicates it's because that the Satan shouldn't be Mekatre at the time of the Amidah. That we want to dispense with the Satan before we get started on our tefillah. There's a whole question: what's this notion of Kedela Arbevet HaSatan? How are we confounding the Satan? So some want to suggest that it's the Satan gets confused and thinks that, oh, this is Shofro Shel Mashiach, and he runs away. that I've always had a kasher on that. You know, doesn't he learn from 1 year to the next? That's but other Rishonim say, you know, the Kedei La'Bevet HaSatan means that the Satan is standing in front of our Kadosh Baruch Hu, saying that Am Yisrael are hopeless, they don't care about the mitzvot. What we're doing is we're repeatedly doing the mitzvot. That's we do the mitzvot and we repeat the mitzvot and we repeat the mitzvot. That's and that's that shuts the Satan up, because he's trying to tell our Kadosh Baruch Hu we're not interested, and we're showing that we are very much interested. That's question comes up that is, if that's the case, that we yotze, that the main tekiot are the tekiot in the Chazarat Hashatz, then how is it that we can say the bracha on the tekiot beforehand? That's, and you know, why do we say, so some say that the reason why we have the earlier tekiot rather than blowing them afterwards, but we blow them before, is so that we can have a bracha. Because we wouldn't be able to say a bracha on the shofar in the middle of the Amidah. So we want to be able to say, say a bracha beforehand. And then we've got a question. If the Ikka Tekiot are in the Amidah, are we yotze with the first Tekiot? So this is a parallel sugya that's, to a number of other cases. Parallel sugya to question of lulav. That's so we wave the lulav twice. We wave the lulav that's before we say halal, and we also wave it during halal. And again, there's a machloket in the Rishonim what the ikar nanuim are. In terms of, is the main focus of waving the lulav, is it in halal, or is it when we say the bracha? And some Rishonim think the main Netilat Lulav is in Halal. Nevertheless, we've said the bracha previously. There's also a parallel that's two other parallels. One comes up on Seder night. That's if a person doesn't have Shari Rakot, or the only vegetable he's got is something which is maror. That's so he eats the maror for Karapas earlier on, and even says a bracha v'alachinat maror there. That's, but is yotze that's with the is yotze with the mitzvah later. So here we've got the question, and we also have the question with kiddush. Kiddush on Friday night, one of the first shiurim we had as a group. That's your yotze in the Amidah. That's the, but the main kiddush is, which Chazal were attacking, was kiddush al hakos. But how can you be yotze kiddush al hakos when you've already done the mitzvah already? So these are all parallel sugyot. That's you know, and then you've got the question of, you know, that, so do we say that you were yotze already, but you do the mitzvah a second time in order to be mekayim what Chazal wanted? Or do we say, no, you weren't really yotze the first time, even though you were saying a bracha? That's because we want to, you had to say the bracha because you were doing the mitzvah, but you're saving your proper fulfillment of the mitzvah for the second time when you do it in the most enhanced fashion. That's so that's the Ran who says that the Ikka Tekiot are the ones in the Amidah, as opposed to the Ritva who says the Ikka Tekiot are the ones that you say the bracha over, the ones straight after the laning, which we call Tekiot Dimyushav. They're the main Tekiot, and we blow again in the Amidah. That's Kedei La'Bevet HaSatan, meaning that when we're davening, that we want to confound the Satan. We don't want him to to mess up our tefillot, and therefore we blow shofar during the course of our tefillah. That's about the way the Ritva formulates it, particularly, is that the shofar is a form of tefillah itself. That's you daven with words, and you also daven with the shofar. He says that the shofar in the Amidah on Rosh Hashanah is more akin to the shofar that's in the Chatzotrot on a Tanit. That's where it's a form of tefillah. So we have the mitzvah of shofar in its Rosh Hashanah sense before the Amidah, and then during the Amidah we have it in the Tanit sense, where it becomes a form of tefillah. But I'll say that it's we're blowing in the Amidah in order to in order for it to confound the Satan. And we'll return to that in a little bit. So, in any event, we have a we blow the first 30 tekiot, and then we have different minhagim about what to do in the Amidah. How many tekiot do we blow? That's so Tosfos on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We'll just look at the first line there. He says that the minhag is that we blow. After the laning we blow 30 notes, and then in the tefillah we blow Tekiah Shvarim Teruah Tekiah for Malchiot. That's Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah for Zichronot, and Tekiah Teruah Tekiah for Shofrot. So that's strange because, if we're supposed to blow a Teruah, that's Tekiah Teruah Tekiah for each of the Brachot, Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofrot, then if we've got a Safek about what a Teruah is, then why aren't we doing each time that's all the possibilities of what a Teruah is? That's, so indeed, some Rishonim say that that's what one should do, and one should blow that. And this is exactly what the Tosfot suggests, that one should blow Tekiah Shvarim Teruah Tekiah, Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah, Tekiah Teruah Tekiah, that's each time. So Rabbeinu Tam says that because of this question, that we'll blow to, we don't do that, we don't blow 10 notes each time, because of Tirchad Tzibura. Tirchat Tzibura means that it's a pain for the Kehillah to stand there and listen to all these tekiot. So, again, it's a very interesting notion, that Tirchat Tzibura here, because, we're talking about blowing, that's another 20 notes in total. We're blowing 10 and we'll blow another 20 notes. How long does it take to blow another 20 notes? 2 or 3 minutes, maybe? It shouldn't really be much more than that. So there are a number of possibilities here. One possibility is that we are mezalzel in Tirchat Tzibura. And really what this is showing us, that no, even just a couple of minutes, that's it's communal time, and we should have a respect for other people's time. Sometimes in shul all sorts of things are dragged out unreasonably. That's, and perhaps inappropriately. We need to be sensitive to Tirchat Tzibura. The other possibility is that perhaps Tkiat Shofar was a longer process at some stage, and more pauses between the notes, more thinking about that's the Kavanot, etc., etc. So Rabbeinu Tam said what to do is to blow Tekiah Shvarim Teruah Tekiah, that's each time, after Malchiot, after Zichronot, and after Shofrot. So it's true that we're not going to be covering all our bases in that regard. That's, it's true that we won't be able to that we're not blowing the Tekiah Shvarim Tekiah and the Tekiah Teruah Tekiah, but the worst is we've got a bit of a hefsek. There, and so because we've been yotzei everything that we need to be yotzei, that's the first time round, that's we can do it differently the second time round, and we don't need to worry so much because of this notion of Tirchat Tzibura. So it's worth, and the original Anglo-Jewish minhag was to blow to, like Rabbeinu Tam, that we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch, that's one of the minhagim. So this is actually relevant this year. I was discussing with a colleague, they feel very under pressure this year. They've got to get out of the shul with the first service so that they can have the second service. So how many, could they perhaps miss out to Tekiat Shofar in the repetition of the Amidah? I said, I don't think so. But what you could do, you don't need to blow 30 notes in the repetition of the Amidah. You could blow 10 notes or 12 notes. That's the minhag of Tosfot or the minhag of Rabbeinu Tam. So if we look in the Shulchan Aruch in Tavkuf Tzadik Bet Sif Aleph says that Machzir Shliach Tzibor HaTfilah, V'Tokim Al Seidah Brachot, the Malchiot Tashrat Pamachat, L'Zichronot Tashat, L'Shofrot Tarat. So that's the minhag that that Tosfot mentioned. V'achshav noah gimlit kah l'malchiot tashrat shlosha pamim l'zichronot tashat shlosha pamim l'shofrot tarat shlosha pamim. So now the the Shulchan Aruch says that the minhag is to blow that three sets of tashrat, tekiah sharam tura tekiah for malchiot, three sets of tekiah sharam tekiah for zichronot, and three sets of tekiah tura tekiah for shofrot. And then the Ramah says, "V'yeshorim shetokim tashrat l'malchiot pamachat v'chein l'zichronot v'chein l'shofrot v'chein haminhag b'mdinot eilu." And that's the minhag, and that was minhag of Rabbeinu Tam to blow 12 notes in the Chazarat Hashatz to give us a total of 42 notes. The minhag of the first minhag in the Shulchan Aruch, the minhag of Tosa, is to blow 40 notes, and then that minhag is the second minhag. Is to blow 60 notes in total. So the second minhag in the Shulchan Aruch is very hard to understand. Is what do you gain from blowing Tekiah Sharam Tura Tekiah three times for Malchiot and Tekiah Sharam Tekiah three times for Zichronot? So in actual fact, the Aruch HaShulchan says it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, and it must be a Tau Tadfus. It must be a textual error. And what it means is, no, that now the minhag is to blow Tekiah Sharam Tura Tekiah, Tekiah Sharam Tekiah, Tekiah Tura Tekiah for each of Malchiot and each of Zichronot. And he says that's the Ikka Minhag Ladina, and the Mishnah Berura brings that down in the name of the Shla and says that's good practice. I think largely now, certainly that we live in this era of art scrollization, and other considerations as well, that it's pretty much universal to blow 60 notes in the amongst Ashkenazim to blow 60 notes in the Chazarat Hashatz. Keter Shem Tov brings down that the minhag of Sfardim is to do as the Shulchan Aruch says, the minhag now, Tashrat three times for Malchiot, Tashat three times for Zichronot and Tarat three times for Shofrot, but Minhag Ashkenaz is like Rabbeinu Tam. And then there are two further issues to flag up as far as this is concerned. The first, and both are actually mentioned by Tosfot in the name of the Aruch. The Aruch, one of the Italian Rishonim, two important Shitot. So if we go back to the Tosfot, I don't think last time we covered these in Yalim, we didn't discuss this. But the Tosfot quotes the Aruch at... as saying that we just bear with me a moment. Right, that you get up to how do you get up to 100 notes? Because it's more or less in the middle, or about four fifths of the way down. It says, "V'aruch perish hayu osin kain sheperish be'erach erev dahalin demachmirei va'avdei shloshim k'diyatvin or shloshim belachash or shloshim al aseda." That you blow 30 notes straight after lightning, 30 notes in the tefillat lachash, and 30 notes in the Chazar Tashatz. So this is the Shita of the Aruch that we blow shofar in the Tefillat Lachash. Now this is actually a machloket in the Rishonim. That's indeed that the Aruch is saying that you blow in Tefillat Lachash, and a number of other Rishonim indicate that you do. However, other Rishonim say very clearly that you don't. That's the Tor that indicates that you don't. The Torah says that Avon Yeshlo in Tafkuf Tzadik Bet, that's in Yeshlo Shofar, Tokal Seder Brachot, Umoke Le Davka, but Sibar Aval Yachid Afilim Yeshlo Shofar, Eno Mafsik Bivrachot Litkar. That's Yachid doesn't interrupt to blow Shofar, Hilkach Machazir Shatzat Tfila, we're talking to Malchiot Tashrat Pamachat, etc. That's the reason why you have Chazar Tashatz, so that you can. So that you can have Tekiot al Seder Habrachot, because you wouldn't bow shofar by itself, but if you in your own private amida, that's and that's also the view of the Magid Mishnah and many other Rishonim. The Rambam is a little bit unclear. So the suggestion is in the Rambam that it's only that you, or the Rambam says it's in the tefillah of the Shliach Tzibur that you have the Tekiot al Seder Habrachot. So that on the face of it would indicate that in the tefillah Lachash you don't have. But from the Lashon of the Rambam, if you look in the third perek of Hilchot Shofar, so the Rambam says that I'm just pulling it up. The Rambam, moving in the third perek, that's of Hilchot Shofar. So in Halacha Zayin, that's the Rambam says Hatzibor Chavin Lishmar Tkiot Al Seidah Brachot. That's Ketzad Omer Shliach Tzibor Avotu Gvurotu Kedushat Hashem Umalchiyot V'Tokei Shalosh. So it's fairly clear from that the tekiot are only in the tefillah of the Shliach Tzibur, because he says the Shliach Tzibur says the bracha and then they blow. In Halacha Yud, he says that after the laning, so then you have the tekiot dimyushav, that you blow 30 tekiot. V'omrim kaddish v'omdim palin tefillat musaf. So you daven musaf, and when the Shliach Tzibur finishes the fourth bracha, you blow the shofar. So it's not 100% clear to me that the Rambam was having a tefillat lachash on Rosh Hashanah. And I believe that in some edot there is no tefillat lachash on Rosh Hashanah. You mentioned this to me when I saw you on Friday night. Is that right? That's no tefillat lachash with you on Rosh Hashanah in Musaf. Right. Okay. Only 51. That's in accordance with many Rishonim. So one could certainly say that the Rambam hasn't got this tefillat lachash. The Shulchan Aruch also would seem to indicate that you don't blow in the tefillat lachash. He doesn't say specifically that you don't, but he doesn't mention blowing in tefillat lachash. He has in Tafkuf Tzadik Aleph, he has that you say the Amida privately, and then in Tafkuf Tzadik Bet that you have the repetition of the Amida with tekiot, implication being that you don't have any tekiot in the tefillat lachash. Nevertheless, the Aruch and other Rishonim say that you do. So what's the maskana? So certainly the Mekubalim were very keen to have tekiot in the tefillat lachash. So there's discussion as to whether or not they can be introduced in a kehila that doesn't have them. That's Rav Ovadia, that's Hafez Tshuva in the sixth chelek of Yechavedat, where he brings all the shitot and points out that the machaber that doesn't have tekiot in the tefilat lachash, and usually Rav Ovadia is a dat maran person. But in this instance, he endorses the practice of the Mekubalin, and even goes as far as to say that even though many poskim say that that you shouldn't change the minhag on this, he says that if everybody that's in the Beit Knesset is happy to change the minhag, then one can do so. The Avnei Nezer, that's the soccer chauffeur, that has a couple of tshuvot on this subject, and comes to the conclusion that one definitely shouldn't have tkiot in the tefillat lachash, and even to the extent that even people who it's their minhag to have them, they should really stop doing them. He was addressed by some chassidim that should they bring their, should they try and convert their shul to a shul that has tkiot in the tefillat lachash. And he says that, no, if you want tefillot in tefillat lachash, go to the Chassidish of Beis HaMedrash. But it would be better if you don't go to the Chassidish of Beis HaMedrash and you daven with us and don't have tekiot in the tefillat lachash. So he's got a number of reasons why not. One is a purely practical reason, which is that it's very difficult for everybody to be at the right point in the Amidah. Some people are going to have to go much slower than they want to daven. Some people are going to have to go much faster. That's take a long time. He quotes his father-in-law, the Kotzke, who says, "Oz ani osek b'malchiot v'tokim lezichronot." I'm busy, still in Malchiot, and they're already blowing shofar in Zichronot. The shofar's not working with my Malchiot at all, because they're blowing there for Zichronot. Another consideration. Maybe the Kotzke wasn't the Rav in that, maybe he didn't have his own cloys for Rosh Hashanah, don't know. There's also the consideration that maybe it's actually a hefsek in the tefillah. That's in Chazar HaShas, we have lots of hafsakot, but not in a tefillat lachash. And he has a very interesting reading also in the Aruch. He says even the Aruch didn't hold that you blow shofar. That's in the tefillat lachash, because he says you look carefully at the way the Aruch is quoted. The Aruch says that you have that. Shloshim kidiatvin, shloshim belachash, shloshim al aseda. Al aseda means in the brachot. That's shloshim belachash. That means it means that at the end of the Amida, at the end of the tefillat lachash, they blow 30 notes, and then they blow 30 notes during the repetition of the Amidah as well. But even the Aruch didn't hold that you blew in the middle of the Amidah. It's a novel reading there in the Aruch. That's interestingly, yes, that's right, yeah. That's why I brought him, exactly. But look first, it's interesting. Shulchan Aruch Harav says that there are some places where the correct practice is you blow in Chazarat Hashatz. That there are some places where they blow even in Tefillat Lachash. But certainly in a place where there's no minhag, you shouldn't introduce that. In terms of, if that's the minhag, then leave it be. But you shouldn't introduce that minhag, because it's not the ideal minhag. That's what the Balatanya says in the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Look in the Siddur Harav. That's the Balatanya. That's so it's after the bracha. So look at the rubrics. It says v'tokin gam belachash tashrat tashat tarat. So it's interesting that we've got this contradiction between the Balatanya in his Shulchan Aruch and the Balatanya in his Siddur. That's I think Chabadnikim blowing the Tfilat Lachash, if I'm not mistaken. That's okay. That's hug. That's in Keter Shem Tov, Chacham Gagin says Minag Asfardim be London va Amsterdam shelo litkoa b'musaf belachash ela tokin b'chazarat ha-musaf k'minag Ashkenaz aval Asfardim be'eretz Yisrael stam tokin b'musaf belachash b'chazara v'chein ha-mina b'kufkuf beitel b'Yerushalayim v'chein haya noheg ha-rizal. So the different practices there he brings down amongst the Sephardim. Another point to and there in his notes that yes, Chacham Gagin that says that it seems from the Mishnah also that it's in the only in the Tefillah of the Shliach Tzibur, because the Mishnah which talks about blowing the shofar, it calls the third bracha that's Kedushat Hashem, and the final bracha Birkat Kohanim, and those you only have that's Kedusha. That's, I mean, we have Kedushat Hashem, I don't really understand that point, but certainly the Birkat Kohanim is only in the Chazar Tashatz. So that's where you've got Chazar Tashatz that you have the Tekiot. That's in the Amida. That's, I mean, a related issue is, again, this is a machloket in the Rishonim, as to how many brachot you say in the Musaf Amida. So of course you say 9 brachot, but there's a machloket. This is a Bal HaMa'or at the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Very interesting discussion. That's, so the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, that's in the fourth perek, tells us that on Rosh Hashanah there are 9 brachot corresponding to the 9 times Chana used Hashem's name in her tefillah. That's, and on the Shabbat and Yom Tov there are 7 brachot, on weekdays there are 18 or 19 brachot. Now, some Rishonim say that the import of this is that just like on Shabbat there's 7 brachot in all the Amidot, so on Rosh Hashanah, there are 9 brachot in all of the Amidot. Even in Shachrit, and even in Mincha, and in Maariv, you say Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofrot. We, of course, don't do that. The other, but that's the Shita of the Bal HaMa'or. The other Shita in the Bal HaMa'or is that even though you've got 9 brachot in all of the Tefillot, it's only the Shliach Tzibur who says the 9 brachot. Everybody else says 7 brachot. That's rather than 9 brachot. So the Tzibur will say an Amida of 7 brachot. The Shliach Tzibur will say 9 brachot. And some Rishonim want to suggest that if you were to say 9 brachot without having Tekiat Shofar in it, so then that would be a bracha levatala. Why? Because that's the Gemara says, why is it that we say Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofrot on Rosh Hashanah? We say Malchiyot Kdei Shetam Nuchuni Aleichem, Zichronot, that's so that Zichronot, so that Kdei Sheyalu Zichronot Aleichem Lefanai Letova, Uvameh B'Shofar. Right, so you always have the shofar when you have the brachot of Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofrot, and therefore even in the Tefillat Lachash you should have that. In Harei Kedem, that's that's exactly what I've quoted there from Harei Kedem, the sheet of Reb Chaim Briska, that the correct practice is to have Tekiot in Tefillat Lachash, like the Aruch says, for the reason that I've just said. That his only thing was that, you know, if it's a big shul, so then where it's complicated you shouldn't, but if it's a small minion, so then where it's more manageable, then that would be the correct practice. The other interesting practice mentioned in the Aruch, that's is the having 100 notes. So the Aruch says we have 100 notes. That's corresponding. That's corresponding. Neged mea payot to paya ime to sisra. That's corresponding to 100 weepings that Sisra's mother wept when Sisra didn't come back from the battlefield. That's so. Of course, it's a big question. That's what's Sisra's mother weeping for Sisra, who was an enemy of the Jewish people. What's that got to do with anything on Rosh Hashanah? That's so all sorts of creative answers are given. That's Rav Soloveitchik says that it's to instill us the same sort of panic and terror that Sisera's mother had, that, you know, she started off, she was looking out of the window, she's expecting her son to come back from battle, victorious, that's to have all the girls throwing flowers at him, that's etc, etc. And as time goes on, you know, he's not back, this sense of foreboding and worry and panic kicks in. And that's how we should be feeling on Rosh Hashanah. You know, we've gone through the whole year, you know, feeling confident and self-confident and overconfident. And then on Rosh Hashanah, as we hear more and more notes of the shofar, that's eroded and we panic about what our HaKadosh Baruch is going to do to us. That's Rav Soloveitchik's drash. That's very interestingly, Rav Kasha, Rav Menachem Kasha, the encyclopedic Rav Menachem Kasha, that's very famously, he was a Gera Chassid, that died, I think, in the 1970s, 1980s, that wrote the Torah Shalema, that's on Chumash and many many other things. That's, he was the founding editor of Encyclopedia Talmudit, I think. That's so in Parashat Chayei Sara, that's, he actually suggests that the whole thing is a bit of an error, and it's not supposed to be the 100 payot that Aim Sisra cried, but rather it should read that it was the payot shel Imenu Sara. That's what it should say, Imenu Sara, that at the time of the Akedah, when the Satan came to, he quotes the Medrash, that, you know, the Satan came to Sarah at the time of the Akedah and said that Avram's just gone off and killed your son, that, so she cried 100 times, and that's what we remember on Rosh Hashanah. That, of course, fits in, that's, you know, contextually, much more comfortably there. That's worth noting. That's there are discussions about that's the sounds of the tekiot. I said that you know, mentioned before about whether a teruah should be a joined note or a warbling note. That's also questions as to be whether it should be that's whether Shvarim Teruah should be in one breath or two breaths. That's Machloket Rishonim. We'll finish off. Let's just finish off with our final note. So the Shulchan Aruch says that, you know, at the end of everything, that you blow a this is Tavkuf Tzadik Vav, Lachar Tfilah Marim Teruah Gedolah Belot Tkia. That's you blow a Teruah Gedolah at the end. That's 101st note, as it were, and that's Kedei La'abevet HaSatan. That's but the minhag of Ashkenazim is actually to blow a Tekiah Gedolah as our final note. So why have we got these two different minhagim? So I saw in the Mikrai Kodesh of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank that so he says they're both based on Psukim. That's why do Ashkenazim blow a Tekiah Gedolah at the end? Because we see with Mamar Har Sinai, the people were told Bimshachay Ovel Hemayalu Bahar. That after Mamat Har Sinai, when there's a long blast on the shofar, then it's all over and everybody can go back up on the mountain and life resumes. So at the end of the last tekiah of the day, we blow a tekiah gedolah to show that it's all over. That's a bimshoche aval has to be, he says, has to be a tekiah gedolah because it's a drawn out note. A drawn out note can only be a tekiah. It's only a tekiah which can be drawn out. So bimshoche aval, that shows it's all over. That's why we blow our last note as a tekiah, and then everybody can go home and have lunch. That's, what's with the Truah Gedolah? So the Truah Gedolah is based on a pasuk in Sefer Yoshua with the destruction of Yericho. That's, so we're told after the people had gone round seven times, Vayaruham Truah Gedolah. So we usually translate that, the people shouted a great shout. It could be they blew a Truah Gedolah, and then what happened? The walls fell down. That's, i.e., with the Truah Gedolah, the prayers are answered. So at the end of all our tekiot on Rosh Hashanah, Truah Gedolah, we want our prayers to be answered. Can't be a better way to finish our shiur tonight than with the Truah Gedolah. May our prayers be answered, may your prayers be answered, may everybody have, as the Ashkenazim say, a good gebench diyah, and as the Sephardim say, tizku l'shanim tovot, that's Rabot v'tovot. That's and I wish everybody k'tiva v'chatima tova l'shana tova u'metuka. And on that shana tova u'metuka, just finished with one drash that I saw, but I was very taken by it. Why do we, when we dip the apple, shana tova u'metuka? Why do we just ask for a shana tova? Now that should be good enough. Why do we want it with cherries on top, as it were? That's why do we want Shana Tova Umetuka? That's I think it's very shy for this year as well. So the answer I saw was that, you know, many things in our lives are good, but they're difficult to swallow. I have lots of experience, you know, things are good. Yeah, they're things which seem to us to be bad, but you know, really they are good for us ultimately. But we don't want things just that are ultimately good for us. We'd like it also to be sweet for us as well. That, you know, the lockdown that we had this year. You know, there were certain, you know, it was difficult in many respects, but, you know, there were certain things that were good for people out of it. That there'll be certain things which are good for people out of this strange Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, undoubtedly so. But it's not Matuka. You know, and we'd like, if possible, not just to have the good things, which are sometimes difficult, but let's pray it can be not just good for us, but also Matuka. Shana Tova and Matuka to all of you. And next week, Bezrat Hashem, we'll have a shiur on Hilchot Yom HaKippurim. Kol Tov to everybody.